You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. It has been a vast and varied show tonight, our standard fare indeed. And in this, our third and final hour, we're going to open a whole new can of worms. Welcome back to the program. I am your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, January the 17th, as we broadcast live tonight from our flagship AM studio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, simulcasting online to a global audience tuning in each and every Saturday night to our award-winning broadcast. But tonight, folks, we're very honored to be able to welcome back a true expert in his field, Detective Jim Rothstein. And as you've probably read about in the news, there are, to put it politely, sex scandals involving one Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, and of course, Jeffrey Epstein, who was for many years a very close and personal friend of Bill Clinton. And Eddie the Bombardier Miller, my co-host with me this hour, Keith Alexander, has left the building. Eddie has said that this is widespread. These sex scandals, particularly involving child sex trafficking and pedophilia, are widespread and go all the way up to the pinnacles of power. And I've never dug into it as much as Eddie, so I said, you know, it's probably possible, but I'm not married to the idea. Well, here now, you know, we're reading this about Prince Andrew. Epstein was convicted, and if I'm not mistaken, our featured guest this hour, Detective Rothstein, Jim Rothstein, has done a lot of research into this. And with that, I want to welcome Detective Rothstein back to the program. Detective, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Entirely our pleasure, sir. And Eddie, I know this is your bailiwick, so we certainly want the spotlight to shine most brightly on Detective Rothstein this hour, giving him the bulk and lion's share of the minutes available. But this is one of your hot topics, so I'm going to toss it over to you, and from henceforth only take us in and out of commercial breaks.
I too would like to welcome you on board, Detective Jim Rothstein. As far as I'm concerned, you're a national treasure, my man. Listen, I've been following Detective Rothstein's work for a long time. The only person I know that's in his league as far as memory and intelligence would be the late great Dr. Stanley Monteith. That's how much I think of this guy. Detective Rothstein, I'm just going to kind of, I guess, do a little porch talk with your biography. Let's go back to when you were probably, we won't go back to your time in the Navy in 1962 when you were in the Navy. Let's go back to, I believe you were a beat cop in Manhattan around, 1965, is that right?
Yes, I saw my first involvement in this in Times Square in 1965 in June. By July, I got into the middle of it, and I've been involved in it ever since. So it's been almost, it'll be 50 years this coming July.
You know, Detective Rothstein has, we introduced him as a detective with the New York Police Department, but I'd hasten to add, Detective Rothstein has worked in all levels in the New York State, not just New York City, but New York State government. If I'm not mistaken, memory serves, he was once appointed, if not a head, but he was appointed to work in a state task force by the governor there dealing with sex trafficking, human trafficking, pedophilia. Am I right there? Is that a fair statement, Inspector Rothstein?
Yes, it is. Myself and another detective by the name of Matthew Rosenthal were appointed over to police commissioner and the mayor's head to see what the effects these crimes were having on society. What that was a fancy word of saying, where's the cover-up and the corruption? And that was the investigation that was the final one. We got stopped eventually, but in the meantime, we were able to reach into the highest places of our government, both the military, politics, law enforcement, you name it, we were in it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And people, a lot of you people might say, well, what does 1965 have to do with, you know, nowadays 2015? Well, what we're talking about, and I'm going to get the inspector who is the expert on this. I'm certainly not the expert. I'm really just a neophyte. But this had been going on, actually, even before Inspector Rothstein's career, I would venture to bet. And the reason I mention that is because the same thing, as a matter of fact, Inspector Rothstein, could it be said that this is kind of like the same song, second verse of the Franco cover-up? What's going on with
the Franklin cover-up came later, but my first big case was the Profumo scandal, which had happened in 63, I believe. And in about 1968, the English Scotland Yard, MI5, MI6, whoever it was, came to New York, and I had to find out just how far the Profumo scandal had gone. And as you see now, there's a tremendous uncovering of the pedophilia and the human trafficking that was taking place in the powers in England going back that far. This has been going on forever, but it's gotten far worse as time has moved on. Right now, I have cases as of, 48 hours ago, active cases that I have right here, right now, involving this type of stuff.
You know, I knew that you would be on top of that. I told James Edwards that if anybody would know what's been going on in the news recently, and what I'm talking about in the news recently is this Prince Edward in England being implicated in a underage sex scandal. And, you know, I've been told that the news has released a statement saying that the prince is, like, he's immune to the law. He has some type of immunity from the law. Well, and that's what we're talking about tonight. I'd just like to zero people back in on what we're talking about tonight. And the reason I'm going back to the 1965, when Inspector Rothstein first got into this, it's been going on. I'm trying to give you a background. This is nothing new. This type of sex scandal has been going along since time began, and I'd like to, what I'm wanting to do is shine the light on our illustrious government, specifically the federal government, specifically the Congress, this congressman, the senators, the FBI, the CIA, the British government, that this type of sex stuff has been going on forever. Am I right there, Inspector Rothstein?
Oh, yes, it has been going on forever. It is probably one of the most well-covered-up things. It's called human compromise. And if you put that in your trusty computer and do a search on human compromise, you will find very little. You know why? Because that's what they do. And I would be willing to say that I was probably one of the best there ever was at using human compromise. And how that came as, very early in my career in Times Square, there was a prostitute that didn't want to have a pimp. So the pimps decided to kill her, and I saved her life. But this girl became one of the highest-class call girls in this country. And we took this into the highest levels of our government, like I said earlier, with the military and everything else. And
Detective Rothstein, we're coming up on a... I'm sorry, sir. We're coming up on a commercial break. You'll hear the music. We spent an extensive amount of time that first segment establishing your biography because I think it's very important to know that we are dealing with an expert on these matters. And when we come back, we're going to cultivate the treatment a little further. Jim Rothstein will be with us the entire hour, folks. Stay tuned.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. 763. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
It's in the news, folks, so we're going to cover it. This has been something that Eddie the Bombardier Miller has been tracking for as long as I've known him, and he's always wanted to talk about it on the show. We've done it a couple of times before. But we have, of course, with us expert guest Jim Rothstein, former detective, with us, and we spent a little time in that first segment building up his biography, and we really only scratched the tip of the iceberg. This man is certainly a leader in his field. And this is a topic that he has really done some research on. It's a sordid topic. But I want to ask you very quickly, Detective Rothstein, as we try to bring this back into focus here, these sex scandals, Prince Andrew, Duke of York, is currently embroiled in one. Jeffrey Epstein, a close fundraiser and friend of Bill Clinton, has been now convicted of being a pedophile. That's not conjecture. He has been convicted of pedophilia. We know that flight records have shown that Bill Clinton has gone down to his private island upwards of 20-plus times where these wild pedophilia sex orgies were said to have taken place. The question is, how widespread is this sort of behavior when it comes to the pinnacles of power and those who are in the leadership of the governments of the West and in America? How brazen and how widespread is sex trafficking, pedophilia, and things of this nature, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, and number one, I'll base it on one of my top people that I had in the underground, a guy named Robert Merritt. He said 70%. I had another madam. She puts it as most of them, and I have it at 35 to 40% are actually compromised and actively involved. So
now, Even that is staggering, sir, but are we talking about that 40% is just engaged in some sort of sexual impropriety, or are we talking about sex trafficking and pedophilia as opposed to just your garden variety escort service? What are we talking about here?
No, this is everything. Even your escort service. If you can set a man up and violate his marital vows and that, he's compromised. and right, it goes sure. into the pedophile world. This covers the whole run of the mill.
And, okay, gotcha.
And, you know, when you talk about one of the biggest ones, Jeffrey Epstein is a major player. I never ran into him, but when you look into his work with Henry Vinson, now Henry's supposed to be coming out with a book in March. It was supposed to come out in December. He was a major player. Greg Spence, there's a Paul Abrams in New York. I mean, these are all people that were running high echelon operations going from the 60s to the present time. And the biggest one of all was the Watergate break-in. They were after the files. There was a prostitution, what we call the book, which is the records of the Johns, and a pedophile book there. I ended up arresting Frank Sturgis, one of the burglars, and we discussed it. And he said, Jim, well, you know what was going on.
How about that?
He says, yeah, because remember, if you got that book, there were Democrats and Republicans in it. And once you get them and you have a record of it, they're compromised and they will do anything you want them to do. That includes our military, too. I had another informant, one of the greatest informants I ever had, Ed Skull Murphy. You can look him up on a computer. He had admirals compromised, senators. And, you know, we would run into these people. Once I knew who they were, well, they were sitting ducks. And the best part, when I first got into this at the highest levels, to make sure the most powerful man in New York was Cardinal Spellman. So Skull Murphy gave me a young boy that the Cardinal had been using. So this way I had the Cardinal compromised and didn't have to worry about him. You see how this works?
Okay. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Watergate, especially to a lot of our younger members. Let me ask you a question. Now, this is the burning question I got to ask. What happened to the Black Book, Inspector Rothstein? Are you familiar with that? Whatever happened, and who got the Black Book?
That's the $64,000 question. When I arrested Sturgis, I asked him about it, and he said he don't know, but I do believe that Carl Schaffler ended up with it. And who he gave it to, I don't know. Carl was the guy that made the arrest. And Carl worked the same way I did in New York, in Washington, D.C., and I knew Carl Schaffler real well. So, and I talked to Carl about this a number of times. He never did tell me that he got the book, but I believe he did.
So, Carl, really, but...
See, Schaffler knew that that break-in was going to take place a month before it ever happened. So don't anybody ever think that this was just the information you're hearing about the Watergate break-in is so phony, it's unbelievable. The truth was Carl knew it was going to happen, and one of the informants was Robert Merritt, who also was an informant that I had for many, many years.
Respect, Rossi, would you tell us who this Carl Schaffler is one more time?
Carl Schaffler was a Washington Police Department detective who worked the same type of work I did. And he was, like I said, he knew a month ahead of time about the break-in.
Now, I may be going down a little rabbit trail here, but I'm probably showing my age, but I remember all too well about G. Gordon Liddy, who was high up in the FBI. Some people say that he may have been slated to take over J. Edgar Hoover's place. Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't J. Edgar Hoover, wasn't he involved in running that burglary team that's supposed to, the Republican White House under President Nixon was trying to get the Black Book? Let me ask you this question. What do you think about G. Gordon Liddy? Was he up and up? Were his hands clean? What did he know about the Black Book?
Well, it's not hard to figure out what he knew about it because he was across the street in the hotel watching it and running it, so he knew everything that was going on.
How about President Nixon? How much did he know about it beforehand,
Inspector? No, absolutely nothing about it ahead of time from the information that I have. There was nothing that Richard Nixon tied to this. And this is something that I looked at in great depth and got to, you know, like I said, I got to know Frank Sturgis very well. I knew Carl Schaffler well. I knew the people that were there. And I also knew the operation. So Nowhere did Nixon come in. He only came in after the fact.
Well, the Black Book, and just go back to the Black Book one more time. Now, even though none of us have seen the Black Book, but from your investigations that have been going on for years and years and years, going all the way back to 1965,
yeah.
It would be probably fair to say, I mean, the Black Book was in the Democratic campaign headquarters, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and now, so
people,
it would...
And like I said, two people told me that, Frank Sturgis and Carl Schaffler.
Okay, I just want to make... I know, you and I both know that, and I know you know it 10 times better than me. I just wanted to get that idea of concrete in the audience's mind. This Black Book was in the Democratic National Headquarters, Watergate Hotel. Frank Sturgis, G. Gordon Liddy, these other guys in the police department knew all about it. They were trying to get that Black Book. So it would be fair to say that many, many of these Democratic senators and congressmen have been compromised sexually. And that's not saying that the Republicans have not been compromised. I'm not saying they haven't been compromised.
Well, the Republicans and Democrats were both used in this book. They were supplying all of Washington. It wasn't just politicians. Big business people, judges, anybody and everybody was being supplied. They didn't just keep it for the Democrats.
And you know what? Since you said that, Inspector Rothstein, I'd like to go back to something that you're very familiar with. It'd be a place in Manhattan, and we covered this in probably about a year or two ago, but we have a lot of listeners. We'll get back to you after the break. I want to talk about the Minnesota's trip when we come back after the break.
And when we come back, Detective Jim Rothstein, former New York Police Department detective who specializes in these political sex scandals, or at least is an expert in them, rather, will continue with us.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I certainly have some follow-up questions for Detective Rothstein this evening. A very important topic, particularly because it is a scandal or a series of scandals that is dominating the news right now. Hillary Clinton getting ready to run for president again. How will the association that Bill Clinton had, the very intimate relationship he had with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, have on that potential candidacy? And then, of course, with what's going on with Prince Andrew, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We may be learning, folks, this is widespread throughout the pinnacles of power on both sides of the pond. But this is Eddie the Bombardier Miller's beat, and I'll let him continue before I ask a follow-up question. Go, Eddie.
Well, I'd just like to come back, and I wanted to treat the audience like a bunch of idiots, because I know you're most of the people out there are 10 times smarter than me, and I probably have the sorriest memory of all the Cesspoolian hosts. But the reason I'm doing this and the reason I keep going back, I know I have to learn by repetition, and I have to keep reminding myself of the big thing, you know, the big picture. So I'd like to say what we're talking about tonight, even though we were focusing in on this latest news article about the Prince Andrew in England being linked to an underage sexual tryst, and with other big names being involved. I'm going to ask the detective in a few minutes to get his take on. I would like the people to know that this is nothing new. I'd like to just go back and pound that dead horse again. It's nothing new. The sexual pedophilia, homosexual pedophilia, and we could even go further out than that to Satan worship. And I know Inspector Rothstein can back me up on that. We won't talk about the Satan worship, the human sacrifices tonight. We'll save that to another show. But Inspector Rothstein's fully aware of that. He set up the sting to arrest the Son of Sam. And to get back to what I was talking about, this has been going on before I was born, probably. And I want you to know that don't give me this crock about your congressman is straight. The Republicans are good. The Democrats are bad. As Inspector Rothstein has talked about, we have talked about, they're all this. I'm not saying every single one of them, but the sexual compromise of our federal politicians is a well-known documented fact.
Rothstein has pegged it at low end 40% to the upper echelon of, 70, 80, 90% are somewhat 70, corrupted.
70%.
Anywhere between 40 and 70% are corrupt. That is a staggering figure.
And I wanted to hammer that fact on over and over and over.
Let's turn it back to the
inspector. Okay, Inspector Rothstein, before I ask you another question, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, one thing you brought up, Clinton, I find it interesting that you bring that name up. If you want to look at another thing, do you remember when Clinton was president, he appointed the senator from Maine, Bill Cohen, to the Department of Defense? Am I correct? And he was
absolutely
a Republican. He was a Republican. Have you ever wondered why that might have been?
Gee, I just wonder.
Yeah, well, follow that one up, and you will see how human compromise works at best when somebody has been messing with the wrong people, kids. And that you just follow that one up, and just so people know, this thing is far bigger than they've ever imagined, and it's used for power.
Let me ask you, that was my question. What you just said, that last sentence, may be the crux of this entire hour, because my question is this. Does it just so happen that 40 to 70%, based upon research and facts and investigation, that 40 to 70% of our elected officials are degenerates? Or is it that once they get into power, they are offered their treat of choice, whether it be underage children, whether it be girls or men or whatever, is it that they are offered that so that they can be controlled, Inspector Rothstein?
That is exactly what it is. And power breeds corruption. And these people get in there, they think they're above the law. And the next thing is, there are people who I very well knew many of them were my informants, that would work these people, set them up so that they could extort them for money, number one.
Yes,
they could
extort
them for favors. It just goes on and on. And I personally, had people that I knew that, I needed to protect myself so they wouldn't come after me. So I would make sure I had something on the right people so I could continue doing my job.
Well, that stands to great reason right there, is that you get in there, you're perhaps driven by whatever ideology of your persuasion, but you get in there and then the forbidden fruit of choice is dangled before you. You take it, and then you are forever more controlled. And that just seems that that would be a good way to keep everyone, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, say a conservative Christian goes in there,
Yes.
Commits adultery with a beautiful woman. This just makes sense. It makes sense, and that's why it's so widespread.
Exactly. Yes. That's why you get – go ahead, Detective Rothstein. I'm sorry.
And that's why you will see this stuff happening, because it's all power and control.
Inspector Rothstein, I'd like to ask you right now, I'd like to go back to a little kind of – not shifting gears. We're on the same topic. We're talking about – people of high power. I want to talk about the following things in a minute. I want to talk about Penn State University sexual scandal. I want to talk about an article I saw myself out of the Washington Times, and it talked about a homosexual prostitution ring being run out of the White House, for God's sakes, going all the way back to maybe to the Carter administration, most definitely to the H.W. Bush administration, the sainted Reagan administration, and probably Clinton administration. I want to ask you, Detective Rothstein, if you know anything about the prostitution ring being run. I don't know if it was run by Jeff Gannon, but there was the Washington Times news article said that there definitely was a prostitution ring being run out of the White House. Male prostitutes were being given clearances. They're supposed to include their social security numbers being wind through, but they were bypassing the Secret Service. These male prostitutes were given clearance to go past the Secret Service into the White House in the dead of the night, giving these tours of the White House. Do you know anything about that, Inspector Rothstein?
Why, certainly I do. And it wasn't just Jeff Gannon. Jeff Gannon only came out of the woodwork because of Johnny Gosch. But there were other guys. You had all kinds of operations right out of the White House, going back to the Franklin cover-up with Larry King. Like I said, Henry Vinson, his book should be coming out. Greg Spence was a major player on that whole operation. And, yes, it goes way back. I got involved in it about when I really got into the big stuff was about beginning of 1967. Is when we started getting that information on not only the White House, but in New York into big businesses and all that. You got to remember, there was far more involved here than just politics.
Inspector Rothstein, you probably couldn't answer this question, but I would just like to ask the audience to think about, we're hearing from anywhere from 35 to as high as 70% of our United States congressmen and federal senators being compromised. What few innocent people there are left, the congressmen and senators, how could they not know? How on earth could they not know what's going on? Why don't they speak up?
And great question. That's a great question. I'd like to hear your theory on that, Detective Rothstein.
Why can't they? Because it's just like any police officer. Every police officer, including FBI, or any cities or anything else, including New York, any police officer who has ever gone after this, once you get above what we call the lot lizards at the truck stops and you start working the high-level human compromise, you will find that they are transferred and stopped. There has never been a cop in the United States that didn't get stopped or their careers were ended when they took these investigations into the highest level. That included me. Not even when the governor of New York appointed me to the State Select Committee on Crime and we got stopped, And one of the reasons we got stopped was that I served a subpoena on a certain individual who had used three little boys to compromise somebody, three people, and they ended up killing the three little boys. The only thing was they did it in my informant's apartment. And then in 1977, when I served him with a subpoena for the State Select Committee on Crime, it was covered up under national security. Now, you tell me what part of the National Security Act allows you to kill little children to compromise people. Can you tell me that?
I certainly couldn't, Inspector Rothstein. I certainly could not. Now, you know, earlier in the show, you mentioned Cardinal Spellman. Now, I'm a little bit familiar with that, but not totally. Now, were you investigating? Well, we'll come back after the music.
Hour's going by far too quickly, I'm telling you. We've covered a lot of important issues and topics tonight, as we do each and every week. I'm absolutely enthralled by this. This is something not part of our standard fare, but vitally important, and it makes for, not that it's entertainment or great radio, but it's something that needs to be discussed on the radio, and we're thankful to have an expert helping us do that tonight. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time, You know, listen, I gotta give a tip of the hat to Eddie the Vomiter Miller. This is his bailiwick. This is one of his signature issues, and he booked for us a guest for the ages in terms of being an expert in a respective field. And it's absolutely riveting, very informational and informative, rather. But here's the thing, Detective Rothstein, people ask all the time, well, why don't Republicans do more? You know, why don't they, you know, this is a conservative radio show, so, you know, our audience would be of that persuasion. Why don't they do more to challenge Obamacare? Why don't they do more to stand up for the causes that motivate their voting base? And could it be that the compromise that they may find themselves in situations related to the topic that you're on to discuss this evening plays a role in that? Is that beyond the realm of possibility? Or do you think that's right down the middle?
Not at all. That is more the norm than the than what you would say happens circumstances. It's more the norm. Let me tell you, it is so unbelievable, and everything I talk about is based on actual investigations, actual cases, and live people. This is not taken from what somebody wrote down and probably wanted to read the way he wanted it instead of facts. All this stuff is backed up by real people.
And, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also go back to the credentials of our stellar guest tonight, Inspector Jim Rothstein. The man has worked, like we're going back to 1965, he's worked as a New York beat cop. He has worked, if you caught a minute ago, a state task force appointed. He was appointed a member of this task force by the governor of the state, he mentioned, and they were shot out of the saddle because of national security by the feds coming in and shutting that investigation down, a.k.a. the feds that are morally compromised out of the Washington, D.C., we've just been talking about. Do you reckon they might have shut that investigation down because they didn't want their tails getting burned? You know, I'd like to go back. Before I go to some people that you know about, for instance, Gary Caradori and the former CIA director, William Kobe, a certain George H.W. Bush, I would like to ask you, I'm going to forget that, but I'm going to ask you, Inspector Rothstein, before I go there, what do you know about the scandal, the sex scandal at Penn State? And I'm going to ask you, how on earth could Coach Joe Paterno not know what was going on there? Let me go back. What do you know about that? Were they supplying little boys to the politicians, or was that just an in-house operation there?
No, that was a major operation. We had gotten wind of it way back when. But it's like everything else. Hear no evil, see no evil. You know, if I don't talk about it or say anything, and I have found so many cases where the victims' families will say, we don't want to say nothing because it'll give us a bad name. And that's how many of these things are covered up. There's many other things that figure into it, but that is one of the big things. The Paterno and the thing up there was just one of those operations that are all over this country. I traveled as a detective. I was on special assignment. I had unlimited money, and I traveled all over this country following these things. And I will tell you, there were two FBI agents that we worked with that did a thorough investigation, and the minute we were done, they were transferred out. There were IRS agents, ATF agents, all did their job, and the minute the cases were over, they were gone. So there were good feds, everybody. Any city cop, all of that, they always ended up getting drummed out when they were done.
A.K.A. Omaha, Nebraska, Franklin cover-up. So, what do you know about? What do you know about, Inspector Rothstein? I'm sorry. What do you know about Glenn Beck and Tim Ballard doing the work? They're supposedly working to getting kids out of pedophilia prostitution. You know anything about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about that. But the Franklin cover-up, I had gotten the original intelligence on that. And that's how it got passed to John DeCamp in Nebraska. But I had before that ever went out there.
So John DeCamp.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you were the one that kind of handed the information off to John DeCamp then?
No,
you got him. You
I
got
critiqued it. I critiqued it before it was sent to him. Certain people
okay.
gave it to me to critique before he got it.
Well, Inspector, now we're going to go into, I'm going to shift gears into what we've been telling the audience tonight about the Franklin cover-up. They're probably wondering what about it, what that's in. I'm going to try to tell them in about 40 seconds, and I'm going to ask you a few questions. Franklin cover-up was centered in Omaha, Nebraska. The Franklin Federal Credit the Union, the Federal Credit Union there, run by Lawrence King, a.k.a. Larry King, big-time GOP operative, sung the... was at the Republican in swearing in of what George Bush. He had this Federal Credit Union. They were laundering drug money from the MENA drug operation, the MENA, Arkansas. He was running in children for sex purposes all over the United States. Okay, that was part of the Franklin cover-up. I'm trying to go fast because we're running out of time. Yes. State Senator John DeCamp got wind of that, was working on it, investigating it. And let me tell you, I'm going to Inspector Rusty in a minute. When they can't compromise you and shut you up with the blackmail, they will kill you. State Senator Lauren Schmidt, who was
I met with him. Yes.
I figured you did. John DeCamp, former GOP state senator, they were on this Senate investigative committee looking into pedophilia, Satan worship, the whole nine yards. Now, Gary Caradore, you correct me if I'm wrong, there was a Gary Caradore who was a private investigator that worked in with John DeCamp. He was murdered, I believe his memory serves, his airplane, a bomb was planted on it, killed him and his son coming back from a baseball game, I believe in Chicago. Even the CIA director, William Colby, was helping to, he got a clean conscience, you know, he got a conscious pains. He was helping John DeCamp.
Colby decided to go for a canoe ride one night and never made it back.
You got me.
That's the way Eddie describes these incidents.
Thank you, Inspector, because that's where I was heading. Thank you very much. I was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
And, you know,
Colby was very much involved in using some of this technology. But Colby started getting a guilty conscience and was starting to talk. I know that personally because I was involved in some work that went directly to that. Like I said, the Franklin cover-up I had before they ever knew about it. And that was tied to some major operations in New York. And I spent a lot of time out in Omaha, Nebraska. There was another detective that did a lot of work on it, Denny Whalen. And some other people. And like I said, you got to follow that to Washington. That's where the Henry Vincent case is going to be coming out of, which has really, it'll be devastating if he writes the whole story.
Well, I got one last statement, a real quick statement. I got one last question, Inspector Rothstein. God bless you for coming on. But we're going to get you on again soon. You mentioned the GOP lobbyist Greg Spence earlier on. Did he commit suicide, or was he murdered?
He was definitely murdered.
I thought so. Well, let me ask you this:
there's some things that happened just before his so-called suicide, which ensured he was on a trip up to Massachusetts, and he got stopped at a hotel in New York. And something went down there, and which ensured that he would not come out of there alive.
One last question, Inspector Rothstein. Where is this going in the future? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better?
Yeah, and I would say, piggybacking on Eddie's question, because we only have about a minute remaining, a final word in addition to you answering Eddie's question, a final word from you to the audience in the 60 seconds we have remaining.
Well, if you look at that resolution I forwarded you, if we can get those laws passed, it would cut this about 80%, and it would stop the human compromise dead in its tracks.
Inspector Rothstein, it's been a great pleasure having you tonight. I've told James knows for sure you're, if not one of my favorite guests of all time, because what's you know, nothing's new under the sun. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We get new senators in, new congressmen in, nothing changes. Sodom of the Potomac just keeps getting rottener and rottener. It's been great. Well, I'll be getting back in touch with you, Inspector Rothstein. I consider you a good friend. God bless you. Yes, sir.
Thank you for giving us an hour of your time tonight to talk about these very important issues. Detective Jim Rothstein, everybody, retired New York Police Department. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Entirely our pleasure to host you this evening. Well, that's it, folks. I'll tell you. Eddie, hats off to you for coming up with the vision to address this topic, which is certainly in the news right now, and for giving us access to an expert guest who can provide us more light on that. In addition to that, of course, we had a great first 2 hours. I want to thank Keith Alexander and Scoop Stanton. Go. We'll see you next week, everybody. God bless you.
To keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.